For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Nadada Shnas HaMelech. That night, the king was not able to sleep. Some people say this is the first time ever Ahasuerus experienced insomnia. First time ever King Ahasuerus experienced insomnia. The Medrash says that Ahasuerus had a very disturbing dream. And keep this in mind for the coming events that are going to happen. He had a dream in which he saw Haman with a sword over him to kill him. And he woke up with great terror, and that's when he asked for these books of Chronicles to be read to him. Okay? So keep that in mind. That's what's in his mind, and Haman's going to approach him with seeing his fear. Because it says the words, Belila Hahu, Hahu, that night. Like it was a weird night. This never happened before. And it's like, behold, an exceptional thing happened here. By Yomer Aviyah Sefer Zichroinus, bring the book of Chronicles, Divrei Hayamim, by Yunikram Lifnei HaMelech. And it's an interesting phrase. And they were read before the king. Not that they were read to him, they kind of, the words spoke themselves. So, the fact is, what happened here is, because he had this dream and this thing of Haman trying to kill him, he started to wonder. He started thinking, you know, first he's had this dream, and plus the fact Esther invited Haman to this banquet, why would she invite him if she has a personal quest with me? And he started to think, maybe there's a plot. Maybe there's a plot. These two are plotting to kill me. So he wanted to know. He started thinking, perhaps, you know, I have some friends, you know, that I did not reward properly. Had I rewarded all my friends, they would tell me what's going on and forewarn me. So there, all this, of course, was planted in his mind by Hashem. You know, he had this dream of terror about Haman trying to kill him, and he started thinking of the spirit. All this for the eventual happenings that are going to happen. Again, the hand of Hashem between the lines, orchestrating all the events. So he thought, maybe I forgot to reward somebody, and therefore this friend, you know, so we've been informing someone trying to kill me. So he asked for this book to be read to him. And what is read to him is the account of his life being saved from the assassination plot of Bigthan and Teresh, right? However, Haman's sons were the scribes. One account we have says that they wrote that Haman saved him, so therefore he promoted Haman. Another account was that there's two different books here. Sefer Zichronos, which means the record book, it says in English, or the Book of Chronicles, and then it says Divrei Hayamim. So there's two books. One, it could be Sefer Zichronos is the king's personal diary. Divrei Hayamim are his chronicles. So in one it was written that Haman saved his life, and the other, the true account, was written that Mordechai had saved his life. Okay? So therefore, what happens? Let's read on the next verse, verse 2. And it was written about what Mordechai had done in reference to Bigthan and Teresh, and we know, of course, the plot to kill him. Now, it's interesting. We know, if you turn back, I think it's chapter 2, verse 22, that the names of these two people are Bigthan and Teresh, right? And all of a sudden, he's written, the first guy, Bigthan, is written in our chapter as Bigthana. An Aleph is added. Okay? And of course, the next word, Teresh, a Vav is added to mean and Teresh, right? But there's something very clever going on here. It seems, again, Haman's sons got involved as the scribes. And they were, according to the opinion, that they recorded the incident, and they did record that Mordechai saved the king's life, but they wanted to make it, give him as least praise as possible. Therefore, they read it the following way. Take the Aleph, from the last word of Bigsana. Remember, that's the Aleph that they added. That's not his name, Bigsan. And the Vav, put them together as a separate word in the middle, and they spell the word O, which means or in Hebrew. So now it reads the following, Bigsan O Teresh. Bigsan O Teresh. In other words, one of them was a guilty party, and one of them was innocent. And Mordechai, true, he saved the king's life. He had, you know, someone evil killed, but he also incriminated an innocent person, and an innocent person was killed. From therefore, he doesn't deserve any reward. Therefore, an angel says, or an angel or a miracle happened here, that when it was read, the word O, meaning or, split and attached itself to the last of Bigsan and to the beginning of Teresh, and now it reads Bigsan, the Teresh, meaning Bigsan and Teresh, and that Mordechai denounced both equally guilty parties, and they were both put to death. Okay, every little thing has a nuance here. Question: there was the Torah, the writings, the prophets, all of this is closed books.
Okay, I just didn't hear what you
right,
said.
The Talmud, I mean, they do derive it from a verse, but we don't know exactly where. Okay, okay, let's move on. Yeah, it's the Malbim, by the way, to go back, that differentiates between the word Divrei HaYamim, which means the official chronicle of the book of records of the nation, and Sefer Zichronos. I think I said it backwards before. Sefer Zichronos means literally the book of remembrances, which is a personal diary of the king. So therefore, Haman was able to change the official book, but not the king's personal book, which is still written that Mordechai saved him. Now, therefore, Achashverosh becomes aware of what happened, that Haman's fraud and taking credit for saving the king's life, when it was really Mordechai, right? All this happens at the night that Haman's about to approach the king to ask to kill the man that saved his life, and you, Haman, took credit for, right? All this is back to happen. And he just had a dream that Haman wants to kill him. And Haman wants to kill the man, Mordechai, who really saved the king. Okay? So all perfectly orchestrated by Hashem at the precise moment, right? The divine intervention is unbelievable here, right? Just at the crucial moment, Haman built the gallows to hang Mordechai. Kodesh Baruch Hu reversed the event, and that's the name of the game in Purim, Nahafahu. We're going to have that actual word. Everything is turned upside down. Turnabout. Okay? Therefore, let's read on. Verse 3. Vayomer HaMelech, Manaseh Yikar Gedula LeMordechai Alzeh. He asked, one fact was done to Mordechai for this. Was he rewarded? Vayomer Nare HaMelech Meshartet Lo Naseh Imo Devar. Nothing was done for him, they told him. And some people read this the following, that nothing was done for him, that was his reward. In other words, the fact that we didn't kill him, he's a Jew. The fact that we didn't persecute him, no, we didn't touch him. Nothing was done to him. That, in fact, is a reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't hurt him.
Right, we didn't hurt him. It's just like Avimelech tells Yitzchak, that he said, I sent you away in peace. When Yitzchak got very wealthy, and Avimelech basically chased him out of his land and got very jealous of him and said, all your wealth you got from us. And then he has the nerve to come back later and ask for a treaty with them. He says, we've done nothing to you but good. What was the good? We sent you away in peace. Mm-hmm. We didn't kill you. And that's a lesson that really that attitude what Jews have in Golis. If we get out of there alive, right? The example they give is a stork. A lion has a bone caught in its throat. Right? And it says, anybody can remove this bone from my throat, I'll give them a great reward. What happens? A stork comes with its long beak, right? Sticks its head in the lion's mouth and plucks it out. And now, of course, he goes to the lion, where's my reward? And the lion looks at him and goes, you want a reward? Isn't it enough for you that you could go around and say that you stuck your head in a lion's mouth and came out alive? So that's the way the Jews are in Golis. We go to a nation and we just get out of their line. We're in the lion's den. Yeah. We're in the lion's den. We get out of there alive, not persecuted. We consider that a tremendous thing. Right. So precisely at this moment, what happens? Achashverosh, what's been done for Mordechai? Has he been rewarded? No, he hasn't. Right? The dream. Haman's trying to kill him. Right? Haman really got rewarded. he finds out. Verse 4, Vayom HaMelech Lim Dechatzer. Who's in the courtyard? The Haman Bala Chatzer, Beis HaMelech HaKitzayin Lemoyer, Lemelech Litzloises Mordechai, Eitz Asher Echin Lo. And just then, Haman came to that accord, because he wanted to speak to Achashverosh about hanging Mordechai on the gallows he built. Precisely at this time, when he found out it's Mordechai that saved his life, right? And Haman, he's dreaming about plotting to kill him, right? Verse 5, Vayomru Nari HaMelech Alav, Hinei Haman Oimed B'chatzah V'yom HaMelech Yavo. So they say, you know, Haman's waiting, says, come on in. Vayavo Haman V'yomru HaMelech Malach says, V'yis Asher HaMelech Hafetz B'yikaro. So Achashverosh baited Haman. He was very mad at him. Okay, so he said, hey, listen, you know, there's somebody I want to honor. What should I do? You as my top advisor, tell me. What should be done to the man that the king wants to bestow honor upon? So he knew, Achashverosh knew exactly what the verse tells us by Yomra Haman, the libo, that Haman would say to himself, L'mi Yachas HaMelcha Sosika Yisrael M'meni. Who else would the king want reward but me? His own ego is going to cause downfall, right? Right? Vayomer Haman El HaMelech. Ish Asher HaMelech Chafetz B'Yikaro. So now he's going to detail to Achashverosh what you should do to a person you want to honor. And of course, we're going to have an unbelievable vivid description of what he felt should be done for himself. Okay? And by the way, the Gemara Megillah, just we're going to go back a little bit. It's very Medayik, he touches on the word at the end of verse 4 that Haman came to Achashverosh to hang Mordechai on the tree Hasher Hechin Lo, that he prepared for him. So for him can go on either one. In other words, right? It can mean Mordechai, or it can mean Haman. The Megillah says Hasher Hechin Lo, it means Haman asked to hang Mordechai on the gallows that he prepared for himself. That this was predestined, right? From the beginning of time, like this, that this gallows was built for you. You built your own gallows, Hasher Hechin Lo, that you built for yourself. He doesn't say Atzmo because he thought he was preparing it for Mordechai. But the Torah is telling, Megillah, the Talmud is telling us, no, this was predestined for you. You prepared your own gallows. I'm sorry, that's not from the tractate Megillah. That's actually from the Vilna Gaon who says that, okay? The key word here, by the way, is hechin, that he prepared. That's the key word where they're learning out from, because hechin always implies hachana, a preparation. Like, you're supposed to get ready for the mitzvah. Hachana is considered even part of the mitzvah, right? They say great men, great chassidim, used to come to shul an hour before davening to get their game face on. And that was considered a mitzvah, okay? So that's the, from that word they derived that he prepared it for himself, okay? The chassidim wear a gartel and stuff. This is part of hachana for tefillah, for davening. Yeah. Okay. We can't emphasize enough. We already did, but we left at one point. And the fact that Haman comes here in the middle of the night after Achashverosh has this dream and finds out who really saved his life. First of all, we mentioned this last week. It's very unusual, you know, that someone would come in the middle of the night to bother the king. And in fact, his wife's advice, his evil wife's advice, though, was to come in the morning. You know, and Haman jumped the gun. He came in the middle of the night. Okay? So now, again, Hashem's hand, right after, in the middle, being woken up from a dream where he saw Haman trying to kill him, and Haman comes at such an unusual time, he was convinced now, more than ever, that Haman, there was a plot to kill him by Haman, number one. Number two, this sets the tone when Esther lays the accusation that Haman, you know, is trying to kill me and my people. He is more damned now. He's more willing to accept any damnation of Haman. This tone's already been set with him. Okay? Verse 8, detailed instructions, what you should do. You want to honor the man that the king wants to honor. You should bring, clothes that the king has worn and a horse that he's ridden, right? And you should put the royal crown on his head. He never mentioned this again, by the way. At the very mention of this world, word, the royal crown, Ahasuerus got very mad, and Haman, no, this is Rashi, Haman noticed that and never mentioned it again. It showed secret ambition, what Freudian slip they call it, you know, secret ambition that Haman really wanted the throne. Now, as you know, and we're going to see some more incidences with her, his daughter. His real intention for killing Vashti, right, this is a beautiful example of Utsu Eitsa Visufar Davar Davar Lekum Kimanu Kel. They make plans and they say things, but we have God and, you know, man trust and God law. Right, so what was Haman's plan? Kill Vashti, have a beauty pageant, and my daughter will be picked. Right? And then who knows what would happen. But eventually Haman was after the throne. And HaKadosh Baruch said, yeah, I'm going to use you with your evil designs. You, yeah, have Vashti killed. Yeah, have a beauty pageant. But it's going to be for my daughter Esther to become queen, and she's going to be the instrument to destroy what your decree is going to be, which hasn't come out yet. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bura Haroi Fekoda Maka, I'm already creating the cure before the illness. Okay, so he had one thought in mind, and Hashem used that for the benefit of his children, okay? But here reveals again that he really sought the kingdom for himself. Verse 9, V'nasan alavush basis ayad ish mishari ha-melech ha-partamim v'ilvishu at ha-ish ha-shar-melech ha-apetz bi-yikaro. He starts describing in detail that the robe and the horse should be given to one of the king's most favored and noble officials. And that noble official, Ferkibu Asus Brachaba Ir, the Kalifanov, he should lead the horse throughout the city and call before him a caller and say, Kacha Yasala Yishasha Melech Kafetz Bikaro. That should be done to the person who the king especially wants to honor. Okay? And verse 10. So Ashrel said to Haman, Maher, quickly, take the clothes, like you said, the Tassus and the horse, Asher Dibarta Vasech, and Le Mordechai, and do exactly what he said to Mordechai. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Well, Haman's, like, thought process, that the turn of events, his head must have been spinning, right? You know, and it says for the next few hours, he was in a complete daze. He's about to be told, you, take this, give it, put Mordechai's clothes, put these clothes on Mordechai, put them on the horse, you lead them through the city, you are going to be that caller. And you are to say, this is what is done to the man who the king wants to honor, and Haman within a daze. Remember, this is a tremendous egomaniac. This was the guy, he had everything. He recounts his wealth, his honor, calls that, you know, shavali. It means nothing to me as long as this Mordechai is in front of my face. And now that very enemy, that's what I want you to do. I want you to give him the greatest honor possible, okay? The second important person, man in the kingdom, next to the king, is forced like a slave to lead his worst enemy on a horse, right? And to proclaim this is what the king does to one who wants to honor, right? The same Mordechai he was just about to ask to hang. He said to give him the utmost honor. So now, listen to the following thing that's going to happen. This is very, very significant about the destiny of the Jewish people. And you're going to see that even the Goyim knew it. The Goyim, again, knew more than we do today about spirituality, about our spirituality. Okay, which makes them actually more wicked in a certain sense. But they still knew, and they didn't try, you know, to become Jews or good Gentiles and help the Jews. Vayashav Mordechai el Shaar Melech v'Haman Nidchav al Beso Abba v'Chafui Reish. Okay? First of all, before we get to that lesson, here's another lesson. Mordechai has just been given this tremendous, tremendous honor. Okay? And what does he do? As soon as it's over, he returns to his sackcloth and fasting. Right? In other words, again, Mordechai does not play politics. He knows, even though he could have thought, a normal was like, the king is bestowing such great honor on me, we got it made, no problem, we got protexia. No, our only source is tshuva, doing sincere repentance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, yes, this honor has been bestowed on me. It's probably a test. It's a test. Am I going to get complacent and not do tshuva? No. I realize our real source is still HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right after it's over, very nice, I got the honor, Baruch Hashem, I'm grateful, take it off, sackcloth, back to fasting, back to davening. Okay, but there is more to this. He also felt that this was a bad thing that happened, because up until this time, Mordecai thought, he hoped, you know, he could ask Achashverosh to annul the decree in as a payback for saving his life. He never got paid, remember? He says, hey, now, obviously, he's paying me back for saving his life. You know, that's it. The debt's over. He's paid, I'm paid off. I can't really ask for anything. And now I don't have the leverage. Okay? So that's another thought that went through his mind. Okay? So now, it could have been from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Obviously now I can only rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu. Before I had some sort of thought of using political channels. And by the way, you should know that there's no doubt about it, we mentioned this before, Achashverosh hated the Jews more than Haman. He was a bigger anti-Semite than Haman. And therefore, just like Mordecai realized that he was being paid off for the death, for the debt that of saving the king, Achashverosh also had the same thing in mind. You know, you think that he reversed his position and now he has great affection for the Jews, because what he just did for Mordecai, no. Achashverosh also realized, I have a debt to this guy, this Jew, and I share Haman's same interest in destroying them. But, you know, there's certain political things, you know, they have political decorum there that we have to do. We have to reward him for this act. Therefore, let me get it over with. You know, I reward him, it's over with, and now I can go on with the decree of destroying the Jews, Chalila. Therefore, this was also part, he was upset with Haman. He was upset with Haman, but at the same time, he was also telling Haman, quickly, that's what it says here, maher, quickly do these things. Quickly pay off Mordecai in grand style, so we'll no longer be able to ask for another favor as a reward. We'll be finished with that, right? And now we can go on with business at hand. At the same time, he was really ticked off at Haman for deceiving him, so he made it that Haman did this stuff and not another noble officer, right? So it served a dual purpose. The most noble minister, Achashverosh's ministers, Haman did it, paying off the rewards to Mordecai in grand style, at the same time giving Haman a little bit of punishment, right, for taking credit for saving his life. Okay, so again, verse 12. Vayashav Mordechai Ashar Melech. Mordechai went back, sackcloth, fasting. Now, in contrast, Haman nidchav al beis avil v'chafui reish. Haman went back, and Avil, he's like a mourner. That needs a translation. Okay, we can understand he's depressed. Chafui reish is like fui was on his head. Fui was on, why do I say that? When he was parading Mordecai through the street, his daughter, Haman's daughter, saw, right, everybody knows this Medrash, she was up there on the balcony, and she thought, of course, just the opposite. Who else would be leading who in these royal garments? Must be Mordecai's leading my father. Mm-hmm. You know, right, through there. And what'd she do? She had a bad case of shilshul, diarrhea. This kept her out of the beauty pageant. Evidently, she was very attractive, and she could have won the beauty pageant. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave her this diarrhea that caused her, you know, not to be the most attractive choice, right? And she still had it. She had to carry this chamber pot wherever she went, right? And she took this and dumped it on the man that she thought was her father. It turned out, she dumped it on the man that she thought was leading her father. It turned out she dumped it on her father, right? And therefore, upon seeing this, she was so despondent that she committed suicide. She jumped off the building. Therefore, that explains why it says that Haman was a mourner. He was mourning over the death of his daughter. Because Avil is only used in the sense of mourning over a death, unless, you know, we use it with destruction of the temple, which is the same type of halachas. Okay? And plus that, Chafui Rush. His head was full of fui. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right? So he was in a very bad state. Okay, verse 13, Vayisper Haman l'Zeresh, Ishto Haman told Zeresh, his wife, right, Ulakol Oibav, and all his loved ones, Esko Asher Karahu. That's a key word here, Karahu. Remember, that's a word to describe Amalek. Amalek first attacks Israel, it says Asher Karcha Baderach. He met you on the way, but we said Karcha is related to the word Mikra, coincidence. Haman's philosophy is the opposite of spirituality, that everything's coincidence. Everything is like cause and effect. These things happen, right? And ours is, no, there's divine supervision. There's no such thing as coincidence. Less than the form tells you there's no such thing as coincidence. Everything that you hear and see is destined by God at a particular time, a particular place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to see the hand of God. Haman says, Karahu, look what happened to me. Bad luck. His wife says, no. Not bad luck. She understands anybody else. You could say that. There's such a thing as a mazel for other nations, but not what happens to the Jewish people. So, again, Haman says, look, you know, the king owed an old debt to Mordecai. He paid it off. It was just a matter of bad luck that I happened to go at that particular time to ask to have Mordecai hanged. He paid the old debt, and now we can get back to business. And he was partially right. As you see, Ahasuerus did share these opinions. Okay? But listen to what Zeresh says. Okay? Well, his wise men also, his administrators, his counselors, and Zeresh. If Mordecai is from the Jewish people, well, we know Mordecai is from the Jewish people, but what they were saying, if he's from those that are called Yehudim, in other words, if he is from Yehuda, right, and I believe the other ones are from Benjamin, Ephraim, or Manasseh. Okay, these are special tribes. First of all, Benjamin, Ephraim, Manasseh are from Rachel, who they knew had a certain power over Amalek. The children of Rachel will eventually destroy Amalek, and Yehudi is not just someone from the tribe of Yehuda; it's someone who excels in being a Jew, who will not budge, who will not bow. That's what says Mordecai HaYehudi. Okay, that is a special kayach of Yehuda, but anybody can adopt it. And Mordecai kind of was a Yehudi in that sense. Okay?
Was he from the tribe?
And some people say, I think, I'm not sure on this, he was from Benjamin. But it could be that I read, I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, but it could be his mother was from Yehuda. That could be another meaning of this, and his father was from Benjamin. So, of course, we go by the father. Mm-hmm. It makes him a Benjamin. But I'm not sure if that's correct, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she says, if he's from one of those tribes, you know, from the Yehudim, Asher Chilaisalin Folofanav Lo Suchalo, now that you've started to fall, you know, you will not be able to prevail against him. Cannot fall people the fanat. You're gonna keep on falling. 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 Going, gone. And that is a big lesson in Jewish history. We're described in terms of kitsuni, of opposites. Like over and over again to Avram, you'll be like the stars of the heaven or like the dust of the earth, which is true. You'll be as numerous. But also the meaning is when you rise, you'll rise up like the stars of the heaven. When we're doing great, everybody will pay homage to us. Everybody will respect us. And when we descend like the dust on the earth, and everybody will trample on us. Halila. So she, the wise men, the ministry, the advisor, including that, they saw this. They warned them that if you start falling before such a man, right, that they're getting strong in their spirituality, and Torah and mitzvahs, their tshuva is paying off. Their tshuva is outweighing all those shekels that you weighed out, right? You're just going to keep on falling to them. You're going to go all the way down. So our advice, so what kind of advice is that? So you make them more despondent. You know, he comes for advice, he's despondent. So you say, you know what? This is nothing. You're really going to go and gain drag. Well, what kind of advice? No. They're also telling them as a command to them, he not fall people if not. You know what? Fall all the way down to them. Once you fall all the way down to him, then you can start to rise. You're going to have to go all the way down. Go and beg forgiveness from him. That's your only chance. Spiritual, and then they understood the power. power of Torah mitzvahs of Israel and our loyalty to God that we are untouchable. The original untouchables, that's us, the Jewish people, when we're adhering to God and His mitzvahs, right? They understood that. You know, many examples we gave them. Goliath. You know, Goliath, they say, morning and night he came and challenged Israel. You know that the Talmud tells us that if we have just the mitzvah of reciting Shema in the morning and evening, we'll be victorious in war. He knew that. This Philistine knew that. So what was he doing? Came morning and night to try to disturb our concentrations in saying the Shema so we wouldn't have that merit. Here he was a giant and everybody was, you know, didn't want to face him one-on-one. Right? He was a huge, and even he didn't rely on his physical strength. Even he realized there was no one like him, but even he realized if the Jews are adhering to Torah mitzvahs, then no amount of strength can defeat him. He realized that. Again, it's an amazing thing. Okay. So, again, and the fact that all of a sudden this strange command that a Jew would be given so much honor, and you, Haman, was to lead this Jew, giving him the honor on the horse and the royal garments, they saw immediately this reversal as a sign that the Jews are beginning to rise. Every day they're doing tshuva, every day they're hanging, hanging tight in Yiddishkeit, right? They're grabbing on spirituality strong, and they're doing tshuva, and they're praying Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that this is not a coincidence. The rise of Mordechai suddenly and Haman's suddenly downfall is not a temporary thing. It's not bad luck. Asher Karau. It just didn't happen, right? You better dismantle the gallows, says Rashi in the Vilna Gaon, and go all the way down. Humble yourself before him. Beg his forgiveness, Mordechai. That's your only chance. They saw this clearly. Do you know how amazing this is? They're talking to a guy who's second to the king, who has he's the most wealthy person at this time there was. Who has all these things, and they're telling him because of one little incident, they immediately saw it. What's going on? Mordechai's rising, you're falling. You better go all the way down. You better humble yourself. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Next verse. Oida medabrim imo. They were still speaking to him. They were still bringing him. And while he was debating, you know, should I tear down the gallows? Now, that's going to be significant that the gallows were up. Because when Esther lays the accusation and the gallows are up, it's a very convenient thing to hang him on before he has time to talk his way out of it. Right? They can point, there's the gallows that he built to hang the guy that saved your life. Right, Mordechai? Hang him on it. So he was getting ready to dismantle these, he was thinking about the advice, maybe I should dismantle them and this and that. He wasn't given chance to activate his plans, and all of a sudden, that's what it says, Oidam and Dabim, in the middle of speaking, all of a sudden the ministers of the king came and told him to bring him to the banquet, right? Right? So therefore, these gals, as we said before, Heichin Lo, they were predestined for Haman, because of the Lagun, they had to remain standing, okay? This term Yehudi, just to back up, Yehudi that we said, I don't have a record that his mother, in fact, was from Yehuda, but the Yehudi title is given to anybody who's willing to Meister Nefesh, who is willing to give up his life rather than to worship idolatry. And even though they're, you know, Haman wore this idol on his neck, so that's the elite name, one of the elite names of Israel, he earned that title, Yehudi, even though he was from Benjamin. Okay. Again, this idea that they explained to him, his wise men, about if you're going to fall, you're going to fall to him. And the Gemara Megillah says the following: this nation, Israel, is compared, the Jewish people are compared to stars and compared to the dust. Kishem yardim yardim adafar. When they go down, they go all the way down to the dust, and when they go up like the stars. So again. These two comparisons depict the radical fluctuation of the destiny of the Jewish people, as we mentioned before. When they fall so low, what happens? They will trample down like the dust. That means, what equates in this, in our story, is that Haman, who had actually sold himself as a slave to Mordecai. They were both generals in the king's army. Haman used up all his rations, and he begged Mordecai for bread, and Mordecai said, fine, we're going to write a contract on the sole of my shoe that you're my slave. You sell yourself. And fine, he agreed. So here, the destiny, when the Jewish people aren't doing what's right, their slaves will rule over them. The slave has total control of the master. Much like what's happening today. Okay, but when they bounce back, you know, and they start doing tshuva, they soar like the stars, and here Mordecai, right, rebounds from being condemned, a man condemned to the gallows that very night, right, and he is led in the horse by the prime minister, and eventually this will continue, and he will become the prime minister, and he'll get all of Haman's wealth, and so forth, and so much. So that is a very, illuminates Hashkocha Pratis, the divine supervision in the Jewish people, right? And again, it's an old formula. When we adhere to mitzvahs, everything's great. When we don't, then, you know, bad things happen to us. Okay. Vayavo HaMelech V'Haman L'Shtot Im Esther HaMalka. We are starting chapter 7. Vayavo HaMelech V'Haman L'Shtot Im Esther HaMalka. So, Yachashverosh HaMalka come to drink with Esther. ביום המלך אסתר, גם ביום השני במשנה יין, מה שאותך, ואסתר המלכה, ונתנסן לך, ומה בקשה? עד חתי המלכה ספטלס. I know you didn't just come in and invite me to a second banquet. You must have something very important to ask. Again, he repeats it. What's your request? What's your petition? I'll get you anything except anything to deal with the building of the base of Mikdash, which is reflecting the words, up to half my kingdom, up to something that would split my kingdom, okay? Batan Esther Malkav told me Matasichem Benecha Melachim Al Melch Taiv Tinas and Linachi Bishalti VaAmi VeBakashasi. Okay, what's my request? If I found favor in your eyes, please give me my life and the life of my nation. You know why? Kinimcharu Ani VeAmi Me and my nation have been sold out. Lashmid. To be destroyed, la roig, to be killed, u'abed, ve'ilu, avadim, v'shifachos, nimcharnu, echarashti. But if we were just, you know, sold to be slaves and maidservants, right, I would have been quiet. I wouldn't say anything. Ki ein atza sheva benezek ha-melech. Right? But this is not good for the king. This is causing damage to what's been decreed upon us. And she's laying the stage for the accusation. And remember, the stage has been set, right? He had the dream. He already thinks Haman's like plotting to kill him, right? He already sees that he took credit for saving his life when it was really Mordecai. He already sees that he wants to kill the man that really saved his life. So now, when this accusation comes, you know, it hits home, where before it would not have hit home. It's very hard for him to digest all this, okay? After all, he's known Haman a lot longer than he has his new wife. Okay? By the way, here, only here it says, Lishtot im Esther, that they came to drink with Esther. The previous banquet, they didn't, because that was still part of the last of the 3-day fast. Esther had not eaten or drink. This one she partook of. That's why it emphasizes they came to eat with her. Okay? Now, Haman, by the way, you know how the diplomacy of the kingdom that Haman that Mordecai could not enter in sackcloth. Remember, Esther sent him a different garment and refused to wear them, right? How much more so could you not enter the way Haman looked? And there's no recollection here that he was able to change clothes, and he just had that chamber pot delivered, the coup de grace on his head, right? Which is interesting, again, by divine intervention. Okay. So Haman, he is really off guard. Remember, he's still in a daze from all the events of the day, plus his daughter dying, plus he's been led into complacency from the previous banquet, so he has no preparation. He's not on guard for what's about to hit him. And it's going to hit him like a double-barrel shotgun between the eyes. It's going to completely blow him away. He was a very crafty, cunning, clever man, right? So all these events were for the purpose, one of the many purposes, to throw him off guard. He didn't have time to, he couldn't think straight. Oh, his wife, his daughter dead, he just let the man, his worst enemy, right? all these things happening to him, and plus the complaints and things, he wasn't prepared for this. What happens? Verse 5. So now Achashverosh addresses her, by the way, a double Vayomer. Vayomer, he says, and he says to Esther the queen, right, Mi hu zeh ve'ezehu. Who is it, Asher malo libo lasusken, who like dared to do this? Vatamer Esther, Ish tsar ve'oyev, a person who's an two different types of enemies. You know, a tsar, one calls a tsarist, and an ayev, an enemy. Haman hara hazeh. And she pointed, when she started to say an enemy, an adversary of the king, she started to point to Achashverosh. Because she knew that, you know, you're it. And an angel had to take her hand and point it towards Haman to teach us many things. One, don't always tell everything you know. Okay? And she, and you know, there's the accusation. You know who dared do this? This, can you imagine? She really puts on the line his most trusted advisor. She's saying he's the adversary, he's the enemy, Haman. The Haman Nifnei HaMelech Mamalka. He was completely like, you know, paralyzed with fear. Right? He was like caught so off guard, right? And now another bizarre thing happens to further incriminate him. Right? You just found out that he's plotting to kill your queen and her people. Do you leave the room and leave these two alone? Va'melech kam b'chamaso, verse 7. He got up in his rage. M'mishtayayin. Agigaf habisan v'haman aman v'kesh al nafshu me'esher amalka. He left the room, leaving Haman a window of opening. Both of them at the same time he couldn't face. But, you know, either one by themselves, maybe he could talk him way out of it. What a foolish thing to do, to leave these two alone, right? Especially you thought before, you know, there was a plot against you, and especially you find out now what Haman's all about. So what does he do? He leaves the room, goes to the courtyard, again orchestrated by Hashem. Why? Again, it looks bad. Haman might talk his way out of it. No, Hashem meant it for good. What happens? And Muhammad, Amal Levakesh al Nafsho, you know, is asking Esther to have mercy. Master Amalka, Ki Ra'ah, Ki Kasa Lavarame, Esamelech. He saw like he was a done deal here. Vehamelech Shav, Megina Sabita. When he came back, Achashverosh, based on Mishta, what does he see? Mishta Yain, Vahama Naifal Alamita. He sees him falling on the couch. Asher Esther Aleah, that Esther was on. Yeah, and an angel came and kept pushing Haman. It says not fall in the tense that continually falling. He was continually falling on Esther in a very immoral, it looked like an immoral manner.
He still had that
like,
on his head.
Okay. He's going to try to attack the queen? With me in the house? I mean, what chutzpah? Not only he tries to attack the queen, but with me right here? Hadava yatzam epi amelach upenei Haman chafu. When these words left the king's mouth, that was it. They covered his face. It was a disgrace. It wasn't honorable for Achashverosh to look at his face, because he was a dead man. He was a condemned man. They just put a sheet over his face, whatever it is, a covering over his face. So again, and we're not finished yet. By the way, one of the many miracles here is that Achashverosh was very disturbed from a rough night of not getting any sleep, and to find out that, you know, he'd been conned by Haman, right? And to find out a terrible dream that Haman might be trying to kill him, and yet he came to the feast and he was cheered by the wine again. Again, wine feast. That's why we celebrate Purim with a wine feast, to commemorate all these miracles. Right? And again, he regained his good spirits to the wine feast, to the extent that again he was prepared to fulfill Esther's every wish. Now, I can't emphasize enough this is a miracle, because he's a very fickle king. You see him fluctuating in his emotions and moods back and forth. He was not in a good mood. And again, despite that, he was put in this good mood and was willing to grant any request. They're also very medayik on the lashon that Esther seemed to ask for her life first and her nation second, and chas v'shalom, that's not true, as we see. All of Esther's willing to give up her life. But she wanted to kind of like,
get the king's attention, right? So, you know, she rather, you know, personally, you have something personal at stake here, me, you know, because she knew that how much he loved her. Also, very interesting, Bakasha and She'elah, the two words she uses, right? So, Bakasha is a request, is much stronger than Sha'alti. Sha'alti is like, you know, my request. Bakasha is like my petition, whatever. It's much stronger. So for herself, she just asked a request, her life. When it came to her the nation of Israel, Bakasha, that was much more in Hebrew, which it's very good. In English it uses it, but Bakasha means a much stronger request, a much stronger petition or protest. So that she saved for the nation of Israel. Okay? And also she was saying, you know, I want my life, but if you save just my life and you don't answer my Bakasha of saving my people, my life means very little to me. Because without my people, I'd rather be dead, like a slow death. Okay? When she uses this word, ulaved, in verse 4, you know, if we had been sold, ulaved, you know, if we had been sold as servants, then I wouldn't have said anything. But what happened instead, earlier in the verse, we've been destroyed and slain. And Achashverosh is very surprised, and that should be a surprise to us. Why was he surprised? You know, he says, what? You know? Me, who's there? Who is this? Who would do such a thing? What? I mean, come on. You know, you were in cahoots with this guy to exterminate, you know, Chalila, the Jewish people. So, one of the commentaries says that really he gave Haman a blanket permission to do what he wanted, but Haman showed him the letter, and the letter said, O'aved, this word O'aved, with an ayin. This same word, La'aved, spelled, can be spelled like this, Eved, which means you make the Jewish people into slaves, or when it's spelled like this, okay, with an aleph instead, it means to destroy. So Haman said it one way, but wrote it a different way to give the impression he was just going to enslave the Jewish people, right? So there, Esther says, if that would happen, I wouldn't have said anything. Because, you know, you would still got benefit, it would have been good for the kingdom. And besides, I know the rule, what she was really saying. She's talking twice here. Whenever it says Hamelech, she's also talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The rule is that the Jewish people are in exile. They will be sold. They will be slaves. They will be persecuted. But will never be destroyed. And if you do that, she warns him. She warns Achashverosh that he's not concerning himself, Haman, with the damage of the king, which would result monetarily, wiping out a nation, but more from the form of divine retribution. Because that's never decreed on the people of Israel to be totally eliminated, right? To be sold, I wouldn't have said anything. That's a normal, gezerah, decree of Golas. So if it's not, I wouldn't have said anything. But no, he decreed to destroy us. I don't think you're aware of that, Achashverosh. He deceived you. He led you to believe that we're just to be sold as slaves, but really he has in mind to destroy all of us. And therefore, Achashverosh is very surprised. Muse, who dared do this? That's not what I had in mind. That's not what I decreed. It's bad for the economy. It's bad politically to exterminate a nation, right? Haman sold them. I mean, it's a little difficult to reckon with everything else because we know Achashverosh did want to get rid of the Jewish people. He did hate them, right? And the comparison they give is like, two men approach each other. This is what it says in the tractate Megillah. One had a huge pit, and one had a big pile of dirt. So, you know, one guy says, you know, sell me your dirt so I can fill up my pit. You know, I'll give you 10,000 shekels to kill the Jews. And the other one says, you know, that's exactly what I need. I need that dirt to fill my pit. So one needs the dirt, you know, and one wants to sell the dirt. He says, keep the money. You're doing me a favor. And that's a comparison to do with Haman and Achashverosh. They both hated the Jewish people and have them killed. Okay, but politically, he was very concerned about politically looking. You know, even the maximum of the Nazis had a certain decorum how to do things, believe it or not. Yeah. Okay, and also economically, it wouldn't be well for him. But she's saying even in a spiritual sense, you know, certain decrees on the Jewish people in exile, but not other decrees. Okay. Of course, this, another more of the simple pshat interpretation here is up until time, Achashverosh didn't know she was a Jewess, right? So if she had known that for love for her, you see early he was willing to not to release, give a freedom from taxes anybody that was her nation, and she wouldn't tell who her nation was, so he freed everybody from taxes. So it's possible that he knew that she was Jewish, that then he wouldn't have gone through with this. Okay? Also, you know, it's going through his mind, you know, first this guy kills Vashti. It took a long time to get over Vashti. It took him, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. It took him a lot. He really did love Vashti. And now, he killed Vashti. Now he's plotting to kill Esther. Yeah. He wants to kill Mordecai. This guy is bad news. Mm-hmm. Okay. Esther's playing on the words here. Achshverosh said to Haman, you can do it to Jews. La'aseisbo ketov b'enecha, what's good in your eyes. So Esther was telling them, that of course means what you see fit, what's good for the country. And Haman didn't follow that. Haman's not seeing what's good for you and what's good for the country. Okay, so a lot of things are going on in between the words. Okay. What happened when the king was in the garden? It says he was very angry. What happened? He said, this is the exact same place that Haman gave me the idea to kill Vashti. And now, right, I just found out the same place. He wants to kill Esther, right? And he's scheming to murder her people. So he got very angry, came back in the room with this in mind, and what does he see? He sees Haman falling on Esther, so he completely misinterprets it, that Haman's begging for his life, right? And that he's trying to attack the queen. To further infuriate the king, where he already has this, pre-notion in his mind already. it's very funny. My Mordecai, he says on this that what Haman, it was an angel that pushed him, or maybe in conjunction with that, he says that Haman, as a last resort, was trying to put himself in a compromising position to implicate Esther and have her killed along with him. Like to drag him, like a drowning rat, take someone down with you. And it says that this failed, Esther screamed, and that's when the king entered, Achshverosh entered.
Where do you hear that?
This is Maimon Mordechai. The last straw for Haman, here it comes. After all these things of incriminating him and setting it up and laying it, and then the angel finally pushed him, looking at compromisation, we're not finished yet. Verse 9. Vayomer Charvoina. Here comes this guy, Charvoina. Chad min ha'sarisim b'fei ha'melech. Gam hine ha'eis, ha'eis asher asa Haman Mordechai. Asher diber tovo ha'melech. And Charvoina, who was originally, by the way, in the plot to build the gallows and to kill Mordecai. Did you know that? He was original. This guy was a very bad guy. You know what he said? You know what? Not only that, look, the tree. You can see it from your window. That's why it was important that it wasn't taken down. That tree that Haman made for Mordecai, Asher Diber Tov Al HaMelech. And Mordechai, of course, saved your life. He only spoke good of you. Oimed beveis Haman. It's standing right there. You can see from here in the house of Haman. Gavoa Chamish Rama, 75 feet cubits, 50 cubits. Can you imagine? He wants to publicly display, hanging the man is bad enough, but publicly display to the world what should be done to the man that saves the king's life. That was it. Right? Vayomer HaMelech Talu Olav, hang him on it. This is significant. Hang him on it. You never were allowed to do this before in Persia. You always had to consult. Like have, ask, like have a little bit of a court. What should we do? Haman implicated the rule. Right? All the eagles are being fed. Achashverosh had this eagle that he wanted to show himself as an absolute monarch, says the Malbim. Right, that's why he had this lavish feast for 180 days. Haman used that eagle, Achashverosh, right? Because he wanted Vashti killed, because he wanted his daughter to be queen. So he said, institute a law. Have Vashti killed. You got to have her killed. She has no respect. Every wife's not going to listen to her husband if you let that go on, right? Therefore, have a code and issue a decree that she can't appear before you, and issue a new decree to make yourself that monarch that you want with absolute power. Abolish the law of counseling with others before issuing a death decree or any decree. You have sole, supreme monarchy, and you decide the decision alone. That set the stage. That was 9 years ago. Right? Now that's become a set law in the institution that Achashverosh, as an absolute monarch, there's two types of monarchs, explains the Malbim. one that's absolute and one that's not. An absolute monarch, which is what he wanted, you can do everything. You don't have to control anybody. So, right? So, he was playing on Ahasuerus' eagle so he could get Vashti killed. Now, she couldn't change Ahasuerus' mind and then take vengeance on him, and plus now a beauty pageant to get his daughter as queen. Right? Hashem set it up for this very purpose. So now, when it came to Haman being in a pickle, that's it. Ahasuerus didn't have to consult with anybody. Hang him on the tree. That's it. He had absolute power to do that. That becomes very significant. Harvona saw the plot go sour. You know, the rats on the drowning ship. Save yourself. So he reversed himself, right? He was one of the plotters. He hated Mordecai, right? He reversed himself when he saw everything go bad, you know, and said, oh, look at this, bomb, 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 and that had Haman killed before Haman could incriminate him. Because Haman was the type of guy that would drag anybody down with him. A lot of things going on. Verse 10, by Lewis, Haman al Ha'et. So they hung Haman on the tree. It's in the Purim song. You should say Harvana's name for blessed memory, because he was an instrument before Haman could sit there and talk his way out of it. Right? He was like a real, you know, con artist.
Yeah.
That he was hung. So some people say that this was Eliyahu Navi, which in general, those words that he should be remembered in what's the words?
Blessed memory.
A blessed memory. That's something, you know, Zachar L'Tayv, Eliyahu. We always Zachar L'Tayv should be remembered for good. So some people say it was just as Eliyahu. Okay, by Yisrael Haman al Ha'etz, verse 10, Haman was hanged. Hanged is the proper way to say that word. He was hanged on the tree. Asher echin the Mordechai, v'chamas ha-melech shachacha, and the king's anger, you know, became quenched. Achashverosh, and the king of the world. Kodesh Baruch said enough. His anger towards Jewish people, they've done tshuva. My anger will cease now. Now my people will rise. They've done the proper tshuva. My anger has ceased. Harbona said more. Before Haman could incriminate him, he incriminated Haman. He said, look, behold, the tree. You know, he wanted to have Mordecai hanged on it, whose only sin was that he saved the king from death at the hands of Bigthan and Teresh, in whose plot Haman must be he was behind it. Haman was behind that plot. And therefore, Haman wrote that he saved the king. When he saw that plot go sour, he wrote that he saved the king from Bigthan and Teresh, when really it was him behind the plot, and he wants to hang the real guy who saved the king from Bigthan and Teresh. Unbelievable. Now remember, Harbona heard, when he was one of the chamberlains that was sent to fetch Haman, he heard about the order to, you know, the plot to hang Mordecai on the gallows. Okay, Pari Macherim says the following thing. There's a saying that once the ox has been cast to the ground, slaughtering knives can readily be found. And so he says this, knowing that Haman had fallen, right? Harbona now was intent on winning the friendship of Mordecai. He's jumping ship, right? And by the way, that's what all Persians are going to do. They're all going to pretend to be Jews. And that's one reason we mask. We wear masks, disguise ourselves, because they disguise themselves trying to be Jews. There was a way we had to distinguish whether they were truly trying to be converts or they're just scared. It says later, I'm going to read it, God willing, in a couple of weeks or next week, that the fear of the Jews was upon them. The king's wrath was abated. Kodesh Baruch Hu now saw the tshuva had been done, and this marked the end of Achashverosh's anger towards the Jews. Hashem changed his heart, right, because the divine objective had been accomplished, and that was the decree had affected our tshuva process. And now he could revert to being harmless towards the Jews, even though we do know he was an anti-Semite. But of course, Baruch Hu takes that latent potential and uses it, you know, to entice us for tshuva. It's been accomplished. Thank you very much.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.